Welcome, and thank you for joining us today for today's IBM teleconference, Omegamon, Recent Enhancements, and Exploiting New Capabilities. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll hear about the latest release of Omegamon XE for ZOS, CICS, IMS, DB2, WebSphere MQ, storage, mainframe networks, VM, and Linux on System Z. We'll discuss the powerful new performance and availability management capabilities and features, as well as various enhancements that have been added to Omegamon since the initial availability of the V4.1 release. The speaker for today's teleconference is Ed Woods, Senior IT Consultant. And at this time, I'd like to hand it over to our speaker. Ed Woods, please go ahead.
Thank you. My name again is Ed Woods with IBM Corporation. I want to thank everyone for taking the time to attend today's webcast. I put this presentation together to fill kind of a gap, if you will, in terms of some information I think people need to get out there in the field specific to what's happening with Omegamon. The Omegamon XE 4.1 releases came out about a year and a half or so ago, and in addition, there's been new Omegamon monitoring solutions that have come out in the interim. But also, in addition, in this time frame, there have been a lot of very interesting and exciting new capabilities that have been added to each of the various Omegamon solutions. Plus, there's additional capabilities, functions, features, etc., that are coming or are available now that you can take advantage of. And so I felt like this seemed like a good time to take a checkpoint and just put together a summarization of what these functions and features are, and just to kind of underline the continuing investment that IBM is making in the Omegamon monitoring solution set in general. So, starting from the title slide, going to the next slide that says Agenda. This is basically what we're going to cover today. I'll do just a brief introduction, and then I'll do an Omegamon V4.1 level set, which basically we'll just quickly summarize what happened in the 4.1 releases, just to get everyone up to speed. Then we'll talk about a couple of the new Omegamon monitoring solutions that have come out. One is part of the 4.1 release, which was Omegamon XE for ZVM and Linux, and then a new Omegamon monitoring solution, Omegamon XE for CICS Transaction Gateway, which some folks may be aware of, some folks may not be aware of. We'll then go into quite a bit of detail specific to enhancements to Omegamon that have come out since the GA release of 4.1. And then we'll talk about IBM Tivoli Monitoring 6.2, the infrastructure capabilities, some of the new capabilities you'll get out of the Tivoli Enterprise Portal by going to ITM 6.2, and why I think some of these things are quite significant and useful. We'll then get into some other capabilities. Tivoli Common Reporter, we'll talk about a little bit about the Opal website and some of the things you can get from Opal. If you're not aware about Opal, that's a nice source of some good capabilities, utilities, functions, et cetera. And then I'll also mention a couple things about RSS and how you can take advantage of RSS to get information from the Tivoli and IBM support pages, and show you a couple things that I use on a regular basis just to keep track of what's going on with the various Omegamons. Just a good way to stay abreast of all the current information. So that's the basic game plan of what we're going to cover. Let's go to the next slide. It says visibility, control, automation. You may or may not have seen a slide similar to this in other Tivoli presentations. In a way, I think it's a good level set in that it gives you an idea of what the conceptual idea is specific to how people are conceiving and building and designing and using the various IBM Tivoli monitoring performance availability management solutions nowadays. When you look at technology such as the Tivoli portal, it gives you a very powerful visibility capability to see what's going on, not only on ZOS, but also from a middleware perspective, distributed monitoring perspective, and application end-to-end monitoring capability. So it's visibility, the ability to observe, isolate critical issues, but then it's also an area of control. the ability to issue corrective actions, commands, issue them the appropriate platform. Again, whether it's Z, whether it's Unix, Windows, Linux, ZVM, whatever makes sense, whatever the requirement is. And then, of course, automation, the ability to correct issues at machine speed. Let the technology manage the technology, in essence. So from a Tivoli perspective, these solutions, play into this notion of visibility, control, automation. Going to the next slide, looking at this from another perspective, applications nowadays are very complex across many core operating systems, component platforms, maybe multiple databases, maybe transaction managers, middleware components, might make several network hops. So the notion of having the ability to have an end-to-end performance and availability management infrastructure in place is quite important for a lot of these very sophisticated applications. The whole notion of monitoring and managing from a composite application perspective, the whole notion of how do you manage from an SOA perspective, incorporating not only operating system but also network, storage, workload, security, etc., all into a common monitoring and system management perspective. One of the things that you can do with the IBM solutions is take advantage of the Tivoli Enterprise Portal to tie a lot of these capabilities together to get a true end-to-end performance and availability management strategy pulled together. So going to the next slide, looking specifically at a ZOS perspective, which is where we're going to spend most of our time today, there is a whole array of IBM Tivoli Omegamon solutions that you can apply. Omegamon for XE, ZOS, Omegamon XE for networks, CICS, storage. We mentioned DB2, a couple of the newer ones. There's now an Omegamon XE for ZVM and Linux, and an Omegamon XE for CICS Transaction Gateway. All of these, in turn, then, can be tied together using the Tivoli Enterprise Portal and specifically the enablement mechanism we have listed on the top, which is the IBM Tivoli Omegamon DE, standing for Dashboard Edition. Now, if you're a ZOS-only customer, you need that DE Dashboard Edition enablement. If you're also a distributed customer, in other words, you're running ITM 6.x on, say, Windows, Unix, Linux, something like that, then you should typically have that enablement already in place. Bottom line is the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, or the TEP as it's called, is an integration point for a wide variety of Tivoli solutions, of which these various Omegamons plug and play quite well into that whole paradigm. So if we go to the next slide, that says the TEP with Omegamon Dashboard Edition enables integrated end-to-end views. Here's a typical example of what you can build using the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. And if you look at the example here, this is a graphic JPEG that outlines a common kind of an application or end-to-end systems management flow, where you may have application server layers on the left. They may go through, say, Connect Gateways, for example, or may go through WebSphere MQ, and then in turn go through the network and then ultimately into ZOS. We're talking about DB2. This could be DB2 in a data sharing environment, so we show the coupling facility and the status of the coupling facility, monitor CICS, IMS, and storage all together on a single graphic interface. Plus, if you look on the left-hand side, we also have a customized navigation tree with the critical or the most critical items available for quick navigation and drill down. So the graphic is customizable. You have user-definable drill-down capabilities, and you have what is, in essence, the ability to combine a lot of information across a wide variety of sources, not only ZOS, but also middleware, composite application monitoring, as well as distributed systems, all on a single end-to-end management view. And that's what the Tivoli Enterprise Portal provides for you. So, having kind of set the groundwork from an introduction standpoint in terms of what's going on from Tivoli's view of the world, if you will, let's go a little bit more into Omegamon XE, the V4.1 release. So again, this is a level set of features and functions that came out in the late 06, early 07 timeframe, this particular set of Omegamon releases. There was a whole set of major important capabilities that came out as part of the Omegamon XEV 4.1 release. Chief among these were some Omegamon, or should I say Tivoli Enterprise Portal exploitation capabilities, the most important one being this thing called Dynamic Workspace Linking, or I'll shorten it in a lot of the slides and just say DWL. What Dynamic Workspace Linking is about is the ability to integrate information in the form of a cross-product link or navigation from one component to another. In other words, the ability to intelligently drill down from a CICS transaction to the DB2 thread, or from a CICS transaction to the IMS DB control, or to integrate network information with a DB2 distributed thread, for example, and things of that nature, so that you can see cross-product, cross-component, how things tie together. So in essence, it's the essence of the portal concept, if you think about it, in that basically once the data is in the portal, in a way it doesn't really matter what product it comes from. It's simply a way to pull the data together, and if the data is coming from the ZOS monitor, the DB2 monitor, the CICS monitor, in a way it becomes more or less irrelevant, and that is simply a way that you can aggregate and pull the data together and then look from one place to another and navigate from one point to another without necessarily having to worry about this whole notion of silos of monitoring, if you will. Other things that were added as part of the 4.1, a lot of support specific to zip processor monitoring that showed up both in the ZOS as well as in the relevant Omegamon DB2 displays. Some additional support specific to the Tivoli data warehouse, added support for summarization and pruning capabilities, so a lot more exploitation specific to Tivoli data warehouse. More flexibility from a migration standpoint. So in other words, support for what we call agent versioning, the idea then that you could have a combination of current level and maybe down level agents and still be able to migrate forward. This is important for large shops that will take a while to be able to roll out from one release to another. Support for the ITM 6.x infrastructure, so that would be 6.1 initially, and then we'll talk about 6.2 later in this presentation. Also, some enhanced exploitation specific to the policy automation. So these things basically apply pretty much across the board for the Omegamon suite. Now, going to the next slide, let's look at some specific things that came about with the 4.1 release specific to the individual Omegamons. So when we're talking about Omegamon XE for ZOS V4.1, I mentioned the zip processor usage reporting, quite a few TEP enhancements specific to additional detail that was added in the 4.1 release. So much more robust information, more detail, I/O rate breakdowns, storage breakdowns, tape drive detail, etc. ZOS exploitation support, if you're using coupling facility structure duplexing capabilities and things like that, ZAP information might be relevant to you. All this information was added in the 4.1 release. Another thing that can be quite relevant is in the prior release of Omegamon ZOS, if you were interested in doing detailed monitoring of Unix System Services, USS, that the USS monitoring was a separate component. Well, in 4.1, this is now included as part of the base product. So you now have a much more robust overall ZOS monitoring solution because you get all this USS detail, process level type information analysis, etc., comes with as part of XE for ZOS. Megamon XE for CICS 4.1, a lot of information specific to CICS Transaction Server 3.1 exploitation and functionality, business transaction services, more NQ detail, Java detail, URA map analysis, web service analysis, etc. A lot of new displays and workspaces and details and information added as part of this particular release. Some support as well for tracing and SLA. Also integration with the Kix Performance Analyzer, now part of the 4.1 release. Going to the next slide, Omegamon XE for IMS V4.1. Several enhancements specific to the 4.1 release that are quite nice. The TRF, the Transaction Reporting Facility, was enhanced Reporting capabilities and detail were expanded to more precision, specific to millisecond-level response times and things like that. Quite a few enhancements specific to the TIL Enterprise portal and detail in the portal. Region occupancy data was added in the form of a region occupancy percent, which prior to that was only available in the 3270 displays. HALDB support for those customers going to HALDB. A lot of good information specific to HALDB now in the portal view, so you can get partition details, summary overview, all sorts of detailed statistics to tell you what's going on specific to HALDB. Some DB control thread display enhancements, and then also for those customers that are exploiting IMS Connect, there's quite a bit of IMS Connect information that's now available in Megamon XE for IMS. Now, I will add, and I have this in a note, that to get the detailed IMS Connect monitoring of XE for IMS, you also will need a component called IMS Connect Extensions, which is an IBM product. That IMS Connect Extensions functions as the API that we use to get the Connect data. Going on to XE for DB2 PMPE, version not DB2, version 9 support in the 4.1 release. Support I mentioned before for ZIP processor utilization, integration with the SQL Performance Analyzer. That's what SQLPA stands for, SQL Performance Analyzer. That is, in essence, an explain tool function, if you will, and that's what provides the integrated explain command capability that so that you can hit basically a function key and explain a SQL call in the classic interface. Enhancements to application trace facility, some enhancements specific to the IFKit 225 storage detail. This is quite useful information in a lot of shops that are virtual storage constrained specific to DB2. To be able to get this data real time is quite useful. Plus some miscellaneous navigation enhancements and things like that in the classic interface, as well as additional detail in the TIL Enterprise portal as well. So going to the next slide, continuing on with our 4.1 release review, if you will. Now the Megamon XE for storage on ZOS V4.1. Information was added in terms of capabilities, if you will, to do commands, create commands, to schedule processes, to administer and manage DASD and storage. New reports were added, top 10 volume reports, new workspaces were added that were geared more towards problem solution scenarios. There was a new database that was added so that you could do detailed data set level monitoring, reporting, and analysis. All this comes as part of the 4.1 release of XE for storage. Specific to XE for mainframe networks, V4.1, a lot of new SNA information was added to the tool. A lot of information was added specific to FTP performance and monitoring, as well as additional capabilities specific to the Enterprise Extender reporting and monitoring. TN3270 workspaces were added, more specific TN3270, more detail was added in that regard, and then there was also improvements in the area of historical reporting. Now, continuing on to XD for messaging, so one thing I'll point out is you notice that the version number is different for XD for messaging versus the other Megamons. This is because the XD for messaging is going to track with the release numbers, if you will, of the MQ series. So XE for messaging 601, when that came out, there were a lot of enhancements specific to things such as on-demand data collection for channel and queue status information, additional platform support, more support for things such as managing messages and dead letter queues and the ability to forward messages around, more new workspaces, dynamic workspace links between Omegamon, XE for messaging, and CICS. More ability to monitor remote queues, even if it's on platforms that are not supported out of the box by Omegamon XE for messaging. So I, even though the version number is different for XE for messaging, I kind of view that as part of the 4.1 release set, so I kind of group it together as such. So that's basically the 4.1 release set, and again, most of this came out either Q4 of 06 or Q1 of 07. And a couple other things I want to mention as well. Let's go to the next slide. One thing to point out is that there is now an Omegamon XE for ZVM and Linux. This is a 4-1 Megamon XE for ZVM and Linux. This is a new solution that came out around the same time frame as the other four ones, and this is a solution that's customized, crafted, and geared specific to Linux and the ZVM environment. So this basically will give you detail of the VM infrastructure underneath, as well then the Linux environment as well. So it gives you a good perspective of overall Linux system health, lets you know who's logged in, what's going on, what's resource utilization, CPU utilization, virtual storage utilization, LPAR type data, and it provides you with a nice composite view of what's happening across the ZVM Linux type of environment. And so this is a solution, as I said, that's very specifically crafted towards Linux running in this ZVM type of environment. So going to the next slide, I mentioned this earlier. The V41 added dynamic workspace linking functionality. So again, to expand on this a little bit, what the dynamic workspace linking mechanism did was it provided the ability to link and navigate from one workspace to another in context. So I have that highlighted in red, in context between various monitoring technologies. So I say various monitoring technologies because it could be a link between, in this example, CICS and DB2 or DB2 and ZOS or, you know, whatever makes sense. But there's really no reason why you would even have to limit it just to that. It could be whatever makes sense in terms of the context of the application or the monitored system or the middleware component or the MQQ or whatever it is. Whatever you need to drill down and navigate to, you have the ability to do that. Now, going to the next slide, there's quite a few of these dynamic workspace links that were provided out of the box with the tools. So XE for ZOS, KIX, IMS, DB2, et cetera, all these provided quite a few of these out-of-the-box links. And I mentioned some of the other ones that have been added as well, specific to CICS and MQ and their ability to integrate back and forth. And this dynamic workspace linking mechanism, you get these out of the box, but you have the ability as well to create additional ones based upon your specific requirements. So that's the 4.1 level set. That kind of just goes through what's happened since 4.1 came out, basically. That got us up to where we were, say, a year and a half or so ago. Now let's talk about what's happened since 4.1 was released. So that's the slide around now. What's happened since Omegamon V4.1 was released? And we'll talk about quite a few different things here. A new Omegamon solution that's come out. Megamon XE for CICS Transaction Gateway. We'll talk about enhancements to the Megamon suite. Now, one thing I want to point out, as I note on the slide, is enhancements are occurring both in 3270 as well as in the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. A lot of customers are concerned that everything's just going to the portal and 3270 is not getting the attention it deserves. And so I will point out examples of where 3270 enhancements have taken place in the tool. And just so you understand, the classic interface is an important part of the suite, as well as Tivoli Portal. Each has its place in the overall solution. We'll talk about support for ITM6.2, what ITM6.2 entails, why that's significant, what capabilities you get. I'll mention some additional new capabilities that you can get from websites such as Opal, which you may or may not have heard of before. This is a nice little site that you can sign up for and get all sorts of downloadable tools and solutions. And then I'll mention the thing called the Tivoli Common Reporter. Now, I'm not going to go into detail on these things. I more just want to make you aware of the existence of this stuff and what you can do with it. And then I'll spend a couple minutes on RSS feeds talking about some of the support and information you can get using fairly easy-to-use mechanisms that come as part of the IBM Tivoli support pages and how you can easily pull this information together. And I'll show you an example of how I use it just to get some very quick answers to some questions that are relevant to our discussion here today. So let's go to the next slide that says Omegamon XE for CICS Transaction Gateway V4.1. It's a new Omegamon solution. For those customers that are running CICS Transaction Gateway, this is a solution that is tailored specific to those requirements. And so, in other words, this is something that just plugs and plays directly into your existing Omegamon IBM Tivoli infrastructure and provides a very good way to monitor and manage those CICS transaction gateway resources. Provides the ability to look at those transactions and correlate it back to the CICS transaction server, gives you workload resource utilization views, and importantly, gives the ability to correlate this information to see what's running, what's available, where's the bottleneck, if there's an issue, where is that issue, and then link the information together. Remember, that's where we talk as well about the graphic overviews, the end-to-end capabilities, the dynamic workspace linking capabilities. This is simply another piece that plugs and plays into those capabilities. Let's go to the next slide that says Omegamon Nexi for ZOS v4.1.0 enhancements. So now these are things that have come out since the 4.1 release. Well, support for ZOS v1.9. There's been some 3270 classic enhancements specific to workload manager displays in the classic interface. So again, this is an example of where classic enhancements have been done, not just Tivoli portal stuff. And then there's also been some enhancement for commands in the area of enclave displays, things like that as well. So I show on this slide as well some of the information page specific to this particular PTF, the information you would get, what PTF number you would need, et cetera. And I'll show you also later on in the presentation how you can link to this page to get the information as well using this RSS feed thing that I was talking about before. Let's go to the next slide that says WLM Classic Command. So here's an example of the new WLM command that was added as part of the as part of this particular enhancement. So we see the WLM major and then the detail, minor commands, et cetera. So again, just showing an example of how we are putting new information, new commands, new capabilities in Classic as well as in Portal. So let's go to the next slide that says Omegamon Nexi for CICS v4.1.0 enhancements. So what's happened with the Nexi for CICS since the 4.1.0 release came out? Well, some stuff that's come out has been, of course, support for Kix Transaction Server v3.2, ZOS v1.9 support. And this entails such things as 64-bit support in the classic interface. There's new command support. There's classic enhancements to handle such things as storage displays and more detail-specific to individual transaction executions. Enhancements specific to file NQ analysis. And I mentioned this before, dynamic workspace linking support to integrate better the MQ displays out of the box with the CICS displays. Let's go on to the next slide now that says Omegamon Nexi for IMS v4.1.0. Nexi for IMS v4.1, several enhancements since the release of the 4.1. This includes support for IMS v10, support for ZOS v1.9. There's been enhancements to Transaction Reporting Facility, that's what TRF stands for. Give you more detail specific to IMS control region details, CPU breakouts, etc. More enhancements specific to the HALDB, lock details, etc. And then enhancements specific to OTMA monitoring. And I have an example of that on the next slide. On this slide as well here, I show again the information page and specifics about the OTMA enhancements, et cetera. And again, I'll show you later on how you can get through the links to these things. So let's go to the next slide that says Omegamon Nexi for IMS v4.1 OTMA redesign. Basically, this is nice because OTMA redesign basically made it, I think, much simpler to install, very quick, easy to deploy. The old OTMA setup, I think, was a little cumbersome. Now we have a much simpler setup, more detailed information. New OTMA data collection gives us much more detail specific to what's happening with OTMA, more detail specific to OTMA just in general. There's now provided situations and monitoring capabilities. I list some of the out-of-the-box product-provided situations, monitoring TIBs, T-pipe utilization, T-pipe stop, T-pipe waiting, etc. So in general, OTMA, I think, is very important in some shops from an IMS perspective in that you have so many applications that might access IMS using the OTMA mechanism. So the ability to monitor OTMA as part of the overall monitoring infrastructure is quite important. And what we see now is with this redesign, if you will, the OTMA monitoring, much more detail, much easier to deploy, much simpler to set up. So let's go to the next slide that says Megamine XD for DB2 PMPE V410. What's been added since the 410 release? There's been some interesting stuff. Some improved navigation and usability aspects, some improvements specific to scalability, some improvements in the area of near-term history, some improvements specific to cross-product navigation, again, the dynamic workspace linking mechanisms. And then there's also been something that's come out fairly recently that's specific to a new DB2 message management display capability that's in the Tivoli Enterprise portal. If we go to the next slide, we'll see an example of what that's about. So basically now we have a new navigation point in the Tivoli Enterprise portal that says DB2 messages. What this provides is a view capability to be able to view messages, highlight messages, manage the messages, and then also the ability to create situation alerts based upon these messages. So if there's certain messages that you want to identify and highlight, deadlock, timeout messages, utility failures, things like that, this provides a mechanism to do that so that you can then in turn alert based upon the appearance of those messages or even drive automated corrective actions based off of that as well. So this is a new facility. This is something that's come out since the release of the V410, so you'll need to have the additional maintenance, fixed packs, et cetera, put on to get this function. Also, looking further at this DB2 messages workspace, if you look at the navigation tree on the left, going up more towards the top, you'll see also a storage consumption navigation point. Now, I didn't include a screenshot, but this also then provides in the Tivoli portal some of the storage IFKID 225 type information that's been added as part of the classic views specific to the 4.1 release in general. So let's go to the next slide that says Megamine XE for mainframe networks V410 enhancements. So now, since the 4.1 release came out, there's been some very nice capabilities that have been added to XE for mainframe networks. The most interesting thing, I think, is specific to the area of monitoring IPsec and IP filter and this area. This is something that can be quite important to some shops that are using IPsec in terms of, you know, their communication strategy into and out of the mainframe. IPsec can be a bottleneck in an area where there can be performance challenges. And so the ability to monitor this in detail and to understand where there's failures, bottlenecks, issues, fragmentations, retransmissions, whatever, simply by maybe making even minor adjustments in the setup of filters and IPsec and things like that can have big performance benefits. So the ability to monitor this in more detail is quite important to some customers. If we go to the next slide, this shows an example of some of the information that's been added into the navigation tree. So we see new workspaces to monitor and manage IPsec. So we see IP filters statistics, IP tunneling statistics, IPsec status information, quite a bit of detail that's been added across the board to this particular tool, specific to IP filters, IPsec, etc. So a big enhancement, very useful, very important for quite a few shops that want to monitor TCP/IP from the mainframe perspective in detail. So let's go to the next slide that says Megamine XD for storage V4.1. So again, what's been added since the 4.1 release? Well, some new dynamic workspace links for cross-system analysis, detailed drill-down capabilities. The premise is, with a lot of the enhancements to storage, is to make XE for storage a tool that can be used for problem analysis and command and control capabilities to make it more than just a pure monitor, but also a working tool, if you will, to do ongoing management of the DASD farm. So there's additional commands for DFS, SMS, HSM, cancel command capabilities. So again, more commands, more capabilities, more function added to the storage tool. Let's go to the next slide. This is XE on ZVM and Linux v4.1. So again, what's been added since the 4.1 release? In this case, there's been quite a bit of information added specific to monitoring of on the cache, disk, control unit, I/O analysis level, bottleneck analysis capability specific to I/O, a lot of additional information specific to CPU breakouts and details, currency support for ZVM 5.3, more platform support for different distributions of Linux, improved reporting capabilities. So again, more information, CPU, I/O, detail, more platform support, both for ZVM as well as on the Linux level. Continuing on, Megamon XE for messaging 6.0.1, what's been, you know, recent enhancements. So, you know, launching context capabilities. This is something I mentioned before. Auto discovery of queue managers, real-time on-demand monitoring and collection capabilities, remote monitoring capabilities. These are all things that I think are, you know, expand the capabilities of the MQ monitoring as well as provide something that plugs and plays quite well into the overall Megamon monitoring suite. Continuing on to the next slide, this is not anything that's specific to anyone of Megamon per se, but this relates to a fix that may have some impact specific to your environment. So if you're running the ITM6.1 Tivoli monitoring infrastructure, there's a fix pack 6, interim fix 1. I also list the APAR number here. Basically, what's been found is that in certain environments, this particular fix has done quite a bit to reduce the data transfer between various components in the ITM infrastructure and has resulted in some significant response time improvements in certain customers. So this is something that might be worth checking into and seeing if it's something that you might be able to apply in terms of a fixed pack onto your environment. So we've kind of gone component by component through the various Megamons. Let's in turn then go to the ITM discussion a little bit here. So let's go to the slide that says ITM 6.2 overhead. That should be slide 29 on your deck. Basically, this shows what are the deliverables of the ITM 6.2 infrastructure, ITM 6.2 IBM Tivoli monitoring. The ITM infrastructure is, in essence, the core infrastructure around which all the various portal-compliant components plug and play. So in other words, Megamon XE for ZOS, DB2 IMS, KIX, all the portal GUI capabilities plug into this ITM infrastructure, as does the distributed monitoring, as does the middleware, XE for messaging monitoring, et cetera, et cetera. So when you upgrade the infrastructure, you get new capabilities that can be typically applied across a wide variety of agents. And so that's why ITM 6.2 can be useful. So there's enhancements specific to security, to event management, overall usability enhancements, agent capability enhancements down to the detail level, scalability enhancements, serviceability enhancements, view, display, visualization, charting enhancements, etc. I'm not going to go through all of these. I'll show you some examples of some things that you can take advantage of quickly and easily if you upgrade to the ITM 6.2 level. So let's go to the next slide that says ITM 6.2 upgrading the ITM infrastructure. So what are we referring to here? When we're talking about upgrading the ITM infrastructure, well, we're referring to the portal server, the Tivoli Enterprise Management servers, in some cases the monitoring agents, Tivoli Data Warehouse. All of these components make up this ITM infrastructure that I'm referring to here. Now, depending upon your mix of monitoring agents and where things are running, that will dictate where, for example, your Tivoli Enterprise Management servers or your TEMs are running. If we're talking TEMs running on ZOS, upgrading those to 6.2 would then in turn pull in some additional FMIDs into your SMPE environment. So the monitoring server, there's an HKDS620F MID. There's an FMID for the engine. There's an FMID as well for the ICAD configuration tool to upgrade and manage and provide the screens, configuration capabilities, et cetera, for this infrastructure. So let's go to the next slide. So in order to get an idea of what's required, potential steps, and again, the specifics of going through the upgrade will vary depending upon the infrastructure that you have in place. So looking at the slide that says configuring the Tivoli Enterprise Monitoring Server on ZOS, there is a publication that will give you some information specific to help planning the process, et cetera. I provide the link as well so that you can download and peruse this particular document. It's a PDF document. I do suggest you take a look at that and consider it because, again, the specifics of how you would do it, the timing, it's going to vary depending on whether, say, for example, your hub is on Windows versus ZOS, or, you know, there's all sorts of different subtleties and configuration options that you might want to consider. So certain planning will be required. So let's go to the next slide that says ITM 6.2. Let's look at some of the TEP usability enhancements that I mentioned. You know, why would you want to go through this process? There are some very nice usability enhancements in the TEP with ITM 6.2. In general, I think ITM 6.2, TEP seems to run a little bit quicker. It seems to do things like scale graphics more nicely. And there's some nice graphic and navigational capabilities. There's icons you can click, like I say where it says click to enable the toolbar. There's some additional icons that appear so that you can do things like click to get this this fine tool capability, the little binoculars icon, so you can do what amounts to a fast filtering function without having to do the old process of right-click, filter, and go three or four layers down. So this provides a much quicker and easier-to-use filter capability than what was there before. It also toggles whether or not you see the history icon, which is to the left of the binoculars. So that icon gives you some nice usability, some quick, fast filtering options. You can do a range, for example, like we see here, in multiple filter options in this particular pop-up. Very flexible, very nice. Going to the next slide, ITM 6.2 TEP usability enhancements. There's an icon you click on as well that will pop up the properties view. So you don't have to do the right-click thing anymore, right-click properties, whatever. You just click on that little slash symbol, and you automatically get the properties icon. So that saves you at least a step in the drill-down process to get to the properties view, which, you know, again, anytime you can save a step, that's a good thing. Going to the next slide, ITM 6.2 TEP usability enhancements view swap. This is, I think, one of the coolest things. And probably, you know, if you build a lot of portal displays and customize a lot of workspaces, this alone could potentially be worth the effort to go to ITM 6.2. One of the common requests that I oftentimes get when I'm teaching people how to build a portal display is it's like, okay, well, I built this graph or I have this table up here in one portion of the display. But after I've put it there, I've kind of decided, well, maybe for aesthetic reasons or just being able to fit things on the screen, I want to be able to move it to a different portion of the workspace. Well, in prior releases, you didn't really have the ability to just kind of click and drag and move it over. Basically, you just had to do right-click properties and then recreate the thing again and then do it that way. Well, with ITM 6.2, you now have the ability to just click on the header and then drag and drop and move the various tiles in the workspaces around. This, to me, is a huge time saver. It's really nice, and I think this is, you know, a huge benefit just from a time and effectiveness standpoint when you're building a lot of workspaces or you're tweaking these workspaces. So if you look closely at the example I have on the screen here, I took the address space CPU utilization tile from the bottom portion of the screen. I clicked on the header, and where you see the thing grayed out in the middle, I circled that in red. I'm dragging it over to the top portion of the screen, and then I'm going to drop it on there, and lo and behold, if you look on the second screenshot I have, now I have the address space CPU information there in a table fashion up on the top simply by clicking and dragging. I think that's a very nice feature and one that we've needed for quite a while. Big time saver. Going to the next slide, TAP chart enhancements. 6.2 provides a lot of enhancements specific to charting, bar charts, plot charts. There's overlay features so that you can plot different metrics in different ways, different graphic capabilities, different ways to handle the X and Y axis and how the labels are displayed, the ability to maybe trim the labels if the labels are too long. You can more integration of history with the real-time data in these various bar charts, the ability to prime history data into the bar charts and plot charts, the ability to auto-refresh the bar charts and plot charts and things independent of the workspace refresh, and more control over the time duration of things like the plot charts. These are some nice charting capabilities and really add a lot more feature function in this realm. So going to the next slide that says bar chart overlay option. So in this example here, basically what I've done is I've just taken a standard bar chart, and so I've kind of highlighted a couple of things that have been added in this example here. So I've clicked on the bar chart icon in the middle on the style sheet, and then I click a button that says Add Overlay. So what Add Overlay does is basically lets you take information. So like in this example, I just selected CPU, and it lets me overlay that specific to the other data that's put on the bar chart. And so you see the blue line is the overlay, and then the bar chart are the bars in green. So this then in turn gives the ability to add different points of information and integrate them in different ways, you know, using more than just simple bar charts or simple plot charts, but tie things together in more detail. Another example of some of the interesting capabilities, if we go to the next slide that says plot chart enhancements. So we see in the top left portion the plot chart. This is one of the CICS region overview displays that plots transaction rate in the middle. If I get into the properties for that, we see we have more slider bar control specific to plot duration. We also have some options to control the refresh rate. In other words, we can refresh this plot chart independent of the refresh rate of the workspace itself. And then we also have the ability to add overlay options similar to what we saw in the prior example, so you can tie more metrics together. There's more control over the appearance of the plot chart. You can put circles and more different colors and the lines, et cetera, on these things. Just makes it, you know, more useful from an analytic and management standpoint. Okay, so let's go to the next slide that says home workspace. This is a nice little function that you can incorporate, and that basically now you can have a home workspace that you can specify, and it doesn't have to be the default enterprise status, which is what it has typically been in the past. So you can assign a home workspace, and then you have like a little house icon that'll appear up on the toolbar, and you can click on that to go back to your home workspace. So it's a nice little navigation shortcut. It's a nice convenience factor. And for a lot of users, this will be quite useful because not everybody wants to, by default, go to the enterprise workspace. They might want to go other places by default instead. Going to the next slide, it says user groups. There's a lot of enhancements specific to the realm of security and things. I'm not really going to get into the security aspect here because that's a whole discussion unto itself, other than to mention that there are enhancements specific to things like LDAP security, things like that. Now, that being said, a lot of these LDAP things may not be exploited on the ZOS perspective like they would be, say, if we're talking just ITM running on a distributed environment. So, again, your mileage may vary specific to what you can take advantage of with some of these things. One of the things that's nice is in ITM 6.2, we introduced the concept of user groups, the ability to gather people together based on certain correlated permissions and things like that. So we could have admin users, super users, sysadmins, whatever, and give them a common set of permissions without having to manage each individual TAP user. So it's a big time saver and will reduce a lot of administration effort and work in that regard. So this is a very useful enhancement. So now, going to the next slide. So in order to get this function, One of the things you'll need to be aware of is that ITM 6.2 and the TEP running ITM 6.2 is going to work off of the Java 1.5 JRE. Whereas ITM 6.1, in most shops, you're typically running the 1.4.2 JRE. So you're going to be in a situation now where you probably may need to have these JREs coexisting on your desktop environment while you're in the process of migrating from the 6.1 to the 6.2 environment. So if you need to migrate and keep a 6.1 environment running while you're in the process of going to 6.2, that's where you might need to deal with this issue of having more than one JRE laying about. So there's a link to a tech note that gives you one suggested technique. There's other ways you can manage this as well. Maybe that's where you might look at things like Java Web Start and things like that as well. So depending upon your requirements, how big is your environment, how long it will take you to migrate, et cetera, this may or may not be a consideration. So that covers ITM 6.2. Let's talk about a couple other nice things that are coming out as part of the 6.2 packaging. One in particular that I want to mention is on the next slide. It says Tivoli Common Reporting. The Tivoli Common Reporter is basically a component, a DVD that's going to be included with the ITM 6.2 bundling, and it's going to ship with other Tivoli products. Basically, what this provides is a common reporting infrastructure for a whole array of Tivoli management solutions. The whole premise is to help customers get a lot more value out of their investment in Tivoli products. One of the things that you have with the Tivoli solutions is, of course, a lot of monitoring, a lot of data collection, out of historical and other data collection. And so it's nice to have a mechanism whereby you have a standard reporting tool wherein you can have a consistent methodology to get performance reporting, resource utilization reporting, availability reporting, whatever it may be. So the Tivoli Common Reporter comes as part of the 6.2 release. It comes on a DVD. You can also, you notice that there's a link I have on this particular slide that shows a URL towards the bottom on the right side where you can go and get more information about the Tivoli Common Reporter, what it's about, how it works, some PDFs that discuss it in detail, and then you can go from there to determine if it's something you want to take advantage of. I think it's a nice facility, and it's worth taking a look at. The next slide talks about the Tivoli Common Reporter in a little bit more detail. So basically, what we're showing here is we have various Tivoli report definitions. There can also be business partner report definitions. So I'm looking on the left portion of the slide in the yellow. You can also have your roll your own report definitions. All of these can be defined into this common reporting service infrastructure. And then it's just a question of taking the various report data sources, the various data that's collected by the Tivoli monitoring and management solutions, and then out of that comes the report output. And there's quite a few different examples of report output that you can get. If we go to the next slide, it shows some examples. For example, here's some reports that we can get on the Opal website. For now, for those of you that are not familiar with Opal, Opal is basically a website wherein you can get all sorts of solutions and tools and add-ons and utilities and things that will help you get a little bit more bang for the buck out of your Tivoli investment. So if you have not checked out Opal, I recommend you go to this URL, or you can just do you can do a Google on Tivoli and Opal, and then that'll take you to the appropriate website. You would have to there's some instructions on how you would log in and request an ID and what you can sign up for, but there's a lot of good information on Opal. It's something that I encourage you to take a look at just to see what's out there. You might be surprised. There's some very nice things that you could take advantage of. It's like some of these things here I'm showing in this example, some report capabilities and things that you can get to leverage some of the things I was talking about before, specific to Tivoli Common Reporting. The last thing I want to mention is another example of something that's quite useful just from an information standpoint. This is something I've started to use quite a bit lately, and it's, to me, a huge time saver. And it's taking advantage of the RSS feeds. So I'm on the slide that says RSS feeds and Tivoli support and information pages. For those of you that are not familiar with RSS, RSS is, it's not just an IBM or Tivoli thing. This is, you know, an internet type of standard, if you will. Basically what it is, it's a way wherein you can get feeds from various websites. So each time a content publisher has some new information on the website, it'll update an XML file and then in turn feed that through this RSS feed. So in order to get this information, as it becomes available, you typically would use some type of an RSS client. That RSS client could be just as simple as going to Yahoo or Google and setting up and using their client that they provide. Or you could use the Firefox browser. That includes RSS support. There's also RSS clients that you can download and install. Some of them are free. Some of them you would pay for. It really just comes down to how much feature and function and capability that you want. If you're not familiar with RSS, I'm sure there's a lot of information on the web that'll give you more detail on it. But really what it boils down to is this, specific to our discussion here. If you note the URL at the bottom, that is the URL that will point you towards a Tivoli support page that will list all the relevant RSS feeds that you have available. To set it up then, if you see the little orange icons to the left of each of these things, you would do a right click and then you would copy the shortcut and then paste it into, in the example I'll show you later on, the appropriate page, and it'll automatically just pull it in. So it's really just as simple as a select, right click, copy, and then you're done. So let's go to the example I was discussing on the next page here. RSS example using the Google Reader. I just used the Google Reader. There's no magic to that. It was just simple. I got it working in like 5 minutes, and so I find it to be quite handy. So I do a right-click on the shortcut that the orange icon on the left portion of the left screenshot, if you will. So I do the right-click, copy the shortcut, and then I just paste it in where it says Add Subscription. I click on that and paste it in, and then it automatically just throws it in here. That way, then, when there's new content that pops up, I automatically just get it in my Google Reader here. So let's go to the next slide. It says RSS example, get relevant information in ITM 6.2. So this is where this is can be really nice. So what I did was I just selected all the various Omegamon RSS feeds, put it into my Google Reader, and then on the top line, where it has a search option, I just do 6.2 and then click the search button. So the idea is basically, I want to have, give me any relevant hits for anything I might need to know about specific to ITM 6.2. And what's nice then is I see on a single page here, I'm getting, an ITM 6.2 certification. I also get some information specific to TAP browser usage, 6.1 versus 6.2. You also see there's a link to recommended maintenance. So this will take you to a link page that will have information on all the various Omegamons, recommended maintenance levels and things like that specific to 6.2. There's a link to a Red Book. There's also, you notice that there's an Omegamon messaging compatibility issue if you're going from 6.0 versus 6.0.1. And so, you know, a lot of information, boom, right here on a single screen. If you're going to 6.2, this is a great way to pull it all together and have it right on one screen. So, let's go to the next slide. It says summary. So what's happened with 4.1? So XD for 4.1 came out end of 06, early 07. Since the 4.1 release came out, we had new Omegamon monitoring solutions for ZVM and Linux. We had new Omegamon monitoring solution for CICS Transaction Gateway. And in addition, since then, there's been a lot of enhancements to the base Omegamons, both from a classic and 3270 perspective, as well as from a Tivoli portal perspective. New capabilities to the Omegamons, as well now as new capabilities that you get provided by ITM 6.2. So a lot of capabilities in both of these areas. New capabilities you can get from the Opal website. If you're not familiar with Opal, go to that. Check out the Tivoli Common Reporter that comes with ITM 6.2. And then if you want to keep track of all this stuff, take advantage of the RSS feeds. That gives you the latest information on what's happening in the various Tivoli support pages. Aggregates together quite simply and easily. Took me, honestly, like 5 minutes to set up, and it works great. So I use it all the time. So that's basically what we have to discuss today. My next slide just says thank you. So at this point, I'll turn it back over to the moderator for questions, and I thank you again for your time and your attention. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Ed. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we'll have a live Q&A session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. And our first question is, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. And we will pause for just a moment to allow everyone a chance to respond. And our second question, what was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. And again, we'll return in just a moment. Our third question, have you used the new Omegamon XE graphic user interfaces in Java and web browser technology? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And we'll be back in just a moment. And we hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. And if no, press star 2. And we will return in just a moment to take your questions. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. And now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. And we'll pause for just a moment. And we'll take our first question from John Kinkle with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Ed, we're bringing up MQ, the Omegamon XE, version 6.0,
mm-hmm.
that one. Can the 3270 interface be used?
There is a 3270 interface portion, but keep in mind that's essentially, you know, functionally frozen from what I understand. I'm not the resident MQ expert in that regard, but... That's my recollection of the statuses of that. I mean, the Tivoli portal interface is the primary recommended interface for the MQ monitoring.
When you say frozen, so your answer is no?
Well, when I say frozen, I mean it's not being enhanced or expanded in any way.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
We'll take the next question from Sally Murr with Wachovia.
Hi. I have a couple of questions. I'm very familiar with the DB2PE for DB2
mm-hmm.
monitor, and I just have a couple of questions. You've mentioned several times about, for the 3270 interface, you've mentioned the classic
mm-hmm.
interface, and I was wondering if the CUA interface is going to go away, or which of those 3270s interfaces should we be concentrating on?
CUA interface will go away.
Okay.
Now, there has not been an official announcement of removal as of yet, but just from a long-term directional standpoint, this is something we've announced for a while, is that CUA is being phased out in lieu of classic 3270 for the 3270 layer and Tivoli Enterprise Portal for the GUI layer. Long-term direction, there is also a PE GUI client, and that feature function will be rolled into the Tivoli Portal, but again, we haven't announced that we're withdrawing that component, you know, yet. So at some point, the user interfaces will simplify, but we haven't announced that it's going to be on any specific release as of yet. So probably in general, you're probably looking, I would say, a couple releases out. So similar to the prior question where the gentleman was asking about 3270 support for MQ monitoring, when you're talking about CUA interface-based technology in general, largely what you're going to find is that it's there, you can use it, but it's functionally frozen. By that, what I mean is that we're not enhancing or adding new bells and whistles or counters, but it's there, you can use it if you choose to.
Okay, so we should focus on the classic. Well, you kind of answered my next question, which is I love the PE client.
Right.
And I loved that in your presentation you showed the part where the DB2 messages were available, and I was wondering if that is going to be available in the PE client, but it kind of sounds like if you're going to phase out the PE client, then probably won't bother putting it in there. Is that right?
Or? Yeah, I can't speak for R&D in that regard. I would have to put that question to them in terms of, are they going to put that specific function in the PE GUI client or not. I would have to drop them a line and see what the plan is there, because there have been some enhancements that have gone round with the PE client. There's been some enhancements in the last few months in that area, of the client at least. So I would want to put that question to them. If you want, you can drop me an email. My email address is woodse, W-O-O-D-S-E, at us.ibm.com, and I'll forward that question on to R&D and C, because I don't know off the top of my head. I don't want to tell you no, and then they go and add it. But in general, again, talking long-term directional, the game plan is to simplify the number of user interfaces and streamline it. And probably some of that would have happened a little bit sooner, but there are certain things that have to happen infrastructure-wise in Tivoli Portal to be able to supply and support some of the things you can do in the PE GUI, like the slider bar controls and things like that.
Yeah. Okay, so eventually PE client will go away, but not in the near future.
It's not going to be next week. It won't be in the I would suspect the V-next release. But beyond that, you know, there's been no formal announcement.
Okay, thank you so much for the information.
Sure.
And no one else is in the queue at this time. But once again, if you do have a question, please press *1, and we'll pause for just a moment. And we'll take a question from Bob Kaplan with IBM.
Hi. OmegaView, what's the status of OmegaView?
Kind of similar to the CUA. Once the CUA interfaces go away, then there's really no inherent need for OmegaView per se. OmegaView is a CUA-based technology, so it's all built around that premise of taking the various CUAs and tying them together. You know, that being said, I still do use OmegaView in a lot of occasions, especially where shops have a lot of LPARs, a lot of OmegaMons, and a lot of sessions, and it does provide a kind of a session switching mechanism. And you can have OmegaView CUA drill down into classic sessions. So even if you're not using CUA as your primary user interface for monitoring, but you want to use classic, you can use it there. But you know, long term, I think it's going to be the same deal as the other CUA-based stuff. It will at some point phase out, I would suspect.
It's certainly with classic being around, it would seem that the OmegaView would be around too.
Yeah, there's been no formal announcement, you know, so, and I'm not, you know, in a position of management or R&D to say, to officially announce, I'm not trying to pre-announce something, it's just that, in general, you know, as the CUA interfaces go away, that's where a lot of the benefit of the OmegaView was the intelligent drill down capabilities. Once you kind of lose that function, if you don't have the CUAs for the individual Megamons, then it really becomes more of just a session switch.
Classic, you're confident that's going to stay around?
Oh, yes. That's been clearly announced and stated. Classic isn't going anywhere. You know, you really kind of need to have the redundancy of a 3270 for your, you know, close to the bare metal, you know, analytic along with the portal. You don't want to be just totally relying on one technology. That redundancy is quite important. And that's, you know, that's been, I think, pretty strongly stated and directed by R&D. And Classic is actively being enhanced, as I've shown in the presentation.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
And there are no other questions, so I'd like to turn the call back to Ed Woods for any additional or closing remarks.
Well, I just want to thank everyone for the time, the attention, the opportunity to chat, answer your questions. It's been a very enjoyable presentation. Hope you got a lot out of it. And I just want to thank everyone for your time and have a nice day.
Thank you very much. And that does conclude our conference for today.